Hi, welcome to Just Friend Zone. I'm Kevin.
I'm Josh.
I'm Damien.
So I've got a guest today, but instead of taking care of the intro myself, I'm going to have Damien do it. Damien!
Yeah, so this person is near and dear to my heart. He's been my roommate since I was a very young kid. We've gotten on each other's nerves at times, but hey, that's what family's for. And I would like to provide a asterisk under this person, as he is my younger brother, as I can no longer call him my little brother, apparently. Give it to Quinton. Quinton, thanks for joining the podcast, man.
Thank you for that warm introduction, bro. I'm sorry everyone gives you shit for, me being a little bit bigger than you, but at least you can outlift me, you know what I mean? So there's that.
No, it's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. But I'm just really glad to have you on the podcast. This is the second time that we've had a sibling on the podcast, besides Jackie's brother, in my understanding.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is only the second time that we've had a sibling be a guest on the podcast. So super excited to have you here and just, can't wait to see where this conversation goes.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks for actually having me on. I know I was, joking around about not coming on the podcast, but it's finally happened. So time to make the most out of it.
Yeah, we made it happen. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and we'll kind of get this party started from there.
Cool. Yeah. So I don't think there's much more introduction other than I'm, Damien's younger brother. And I don't know. It's just really cool to be in this environment right now, just because like I've always looked up to my Damien's friends and whatnot. And it's just, nice to be able to have a space where you have a conversation about something that I've been really focused on at this point in my life, which is gratitude. So really excited to just, dive into the details and whatnot. But gratitude's cool, man, because like it's just taking a look at, what you have in your life and just appreciating it for what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the main thing I want to talk about today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's good to have you on. Obviously, yeah, like you mentioned that, you were joking about being a guest on the podcast and then it happened, So I guess like that's like a real case of, don't let your memes be memes. So.
Yeah, it's funny because, so Damien had a Halloween party. We're all hanging out, and then he comes up to me, aggressive. He's probably, a little bit drunk, and he goes, "Dude, why can't I be on the podcast?" I'm like, "What?" I was so shocked.
And then I get cornered later on by everybody. Well, for a different thing, and then Quizzy calls me out in front of everybody. He's like, "So why do you not want me on the podcast, bro?"
I was like, dude, Damien never mentioned you as a guest or anything. And then he's like, what? He just kind of ignored me.
I did not ignore him. It was a scheduling thing. I didn't know how it was all going to work out. You tried juggling two parties and also like a wife going through pregnancy while trying to also maintain like other things. Like you try to like handle as much as I do and then come back to me and tell me that you can remember every single thing that you're trying to deal with.
I know.
I don't know, man. It sounds to me like Quinton really wanted to be on the podcast and you were just dodging him. I don't know, man. I feel like
I'm just getting caught strays left and right.
This is the roast of Damien.
Yeah. We brought Quinton on just to roast Damien with us.
This is the real reason why I'm on. We're just having a roast Damien session right now.
Yeah, yeah. Quinton talked about gratitude and we're really grateful to have this opportunity.
Oh man. Just trying to have me eat a slice of humble pie like so quick, so fast. No, but really though, like, on that topic, I guess, like, one thing that I would like to say I'm grateful for is really my relationship with my brother, Quinton. I feel like growing up, it was always like fun competitiveness between the two of us. Like, I would always pick up something first, but Quinton would just like surpass me in like whatever we were doing. Like, he just has so much skill and so much talent in him. I know that he's going to be going off and doing great things. I just remember how growing up, like, our dad got us, like, Call of Duty, and it was Modern Warfare 2. And at first, like, I was like, okay, I'm the older brother. I should be able to like outplay him or whatever. Then all of a sudden Quinson just grinds it out, plays as much as possible, and he's like no scoping me, 360ing me from the top of buildings. And I'm just like, I can't even just like land anything. He's just not even giving me a chance. So, like I see the capability that Quinson has in him, and like, you know, just seeing you'll be able to grow into the man you are now. It's been quite an amazing journey to just be a part of. So I'm grateful for that, just being a part of your journey, really.
Thanks, bro. Mainly like that skill that you're talking about is just video games. Just, you know, played a lot of video games growing up. No other skills were developed during that time.
Like, I love how like, we went straight into like making this a deep talk, dude. I was like, oh shoot, we talk about stuff already, like damn. But yeah, no, I guess this means that Quinton is going to start powerlifting soon, right? And then Ooh. And then he's going to surpass you in that too.
I mean, Quinton's already gained like so much more muscle mass than I have in the past like couple of months. Like,
oh, just,
he's been bulking up like a lot.
Hey, give me a bicep right now, Quinton.
Dude, he's jacked, bro.
Damn. You know, I wasn't ready for that. I really wasn't ready for that.
So the thing about it is like, Damien's more into like the powerlifting and lifting heavy, mm-hmm. and I'm more into like the bodybuilding where I just want to look big, but you know, it doesn't really, I don't really have to lift a lot of weight. I just want the size, you know what I mean? So that's what we got, two different like training styles. So I don't think he can have the power lift. He can lift the 400, 500 pounds. I'll just look big.
Yeah. No, I was actually just talking to Amanda about this today. It was like, she asked me a question. Like, she asked me that question, like, what's the difference between powerlifting and bodybuilding? And I like broke it down to her. And she's like, oh, that's so interesting. Like, because to her, like, going to the gym is just going to the gym. Like, she never has had to think about that, you know? Mm. So, but yeah, I think that's cool. I think Josh says this all the time, though. Like, I used to do bodybuilding for years and years and years, and I always just looked like fit. I never looked big. It wasn't until I started powerlifting that I actually really started putting on like a lot of the muscle. So, a little food for thought for you, Quinton. You know, you can, I think it's good to actually mix up both. Like, you can go through like a cycle of like trend below. No, I'm kidding.
Casually just saying. You know, it's
like, I was holding my tongue. I was like, oh, Kevin also cycled in a little bit as a joke. I was holding my tongue and you said it. So
no, you could do like a cycle of like bodybuilding and then mix in like a powerlifting cycle and then, you know, go back and forth. I think that's what a lot of people do, like just to kind of, you know, switch things up and keep things fresh for themselves.
Right. So, you know, actually, recently when I put on a little bit more weight, just for like context, in the last like 3 months, I probably put on about 15 pounds. Ooh. But previously, my style was just like, I wasn't really lifting as heavy. I was kind of just, you know, doing less weight and high repetitions. And I really wasn't seeing any sort of difference in my body. But over the last couple months, I decided to go for like strength a little bit. And then mm-hmm. that's when I started put on the weight. So, mm-hmm. you know, it makes sense what you're saying. So,
yeah, it makes a difference.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about like, you know, you're saying that you're really focused on like gratitude and being grateful. I'm wondering, like, does the gym tie into that a little bit? Like, did you have this like episode of like gratefulness and wanting to be more grateful in life, and then being like, you know what, like I also want to focus on this other aspect of health too?
I think it mainly just stems from like, you know, taking a look at your past, right? Like when I first started, I was like 6 foot, 120 pounds. So if you can imagine just like skin and bones, like that was me, tall, skinny guy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, taking a look at the progress that I've made to this point, you just, you know, compare the two and you just kind of are grateful, even though I'm not where I want to be yet, 100%. I just am grateful for, you know, looking the way I look right now. And like, I think the main thing that has kind of stemmed in my brain, the reason why I'm so grateful is because like with my job, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm basically a taxi driver, but I drive like disabled people. So I drive people who are elderly, people who are like blind, maybe they're on the autistic spectrum. And so on a daily basis, I'm, you know, I see people who are disabled in some sort of way. And it just kind of serves as a reminder for me to like be grateful for the smallest things, you know, like my eyesight, being able to walk, being able to like just put on a cart, you know, a seatbelt without having any assistance. You know what I mean? Like, these people struggle with these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just in positions where we're healthy, we're alive, we're young, you know? So, like, all these little elements that we tend to overlook on a daily basis is something that I get to be reminded of, and that I get to think about how grateful I am. So it kind of just ties into, like, everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I got that. Quentin, sorry, remind me, how old are you now?
26. I'll be 27 in a few months.
Oof. Oof. Good years. Good years. Yeah. Okay. Now, I think it's funny because, you know, Damian was talking about, like, how you've been his roommate since you were young, or since he was a young kid. And I remember meeting you when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And you and Karina, Kylie, I'm blanking. Oh, this is not good. Kira! Ooh, I blanked so hard on that one. That was bad. Kira, if you ever listen to this episode, I'm so sorry. But I remember meeting you guys all, and, like, I remember, like, you were, like, a kid, like, a legitimate, like, child. So, that's kind of crazy, dude. Like, you're so much bigger now. And I don't know, like, I think, you know, Damian said, like, oh, I gotta call my younger brother because he's not my little brother. I was like, yeah, that's very true. He's too tall now. So, that's crazy, man. Yeah, that's really cool, though. Like, I think everyone's got a different story for why, like, they want to be more grateful or more positive-minded, right? So, mm-hmm. I think it's just cool to hear that. Like, how'd you get into this, like, work, though?
Honestly, like, I was just looking for any sort of job that was paying the most money. And then I saw, like, an ad on Indeed for, like, being a wheelchair van driver. So that's actually what I started to do first before I started just driving a taxi. I would drive a wheelchair van where I have to, you know, push people into the van, and then I have to strap them in with, like, 8 different straps to make sure that they're secure. People are going to, like, you know, doctor's appointments and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, funny enough, it pays a lot if you work a lot. So I do work, like, 12, 13-hour days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as a result, I make some pretty decent money with it. So, and it's just driving all day. I just drive, talk to customers, listen to music. Mm-hmm. Pretty chill job. So, yeah. Good for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Are you responsible for your own gas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But the pay is well over what I need to supplement for the gas. So, it's not a big deal.
It's not something you have to think too much about.
Oh, no, not at all. I just fill up once per day. I drive about, like, 200-300 miles. But, oh, my gosh, I was looking at my mileage on my car because I got a new car. I bought a used car this year. I bought it with, like, 40,000 miles, and now it has about almost 80,000 miles.
Holy hell.
And that was in March. I bought it in March, so.
Wow.
I drive a lot.
Dude, you drive in one day about how much I drive in a whole week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I don't, well, I mean, I also work a hybrid schedule, so I don't go to the office, like, every day, but I also only live, like, 5 miles away from my work.
Yeah.
So, dang, that's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of customers, wait, what's that?
Sorry, is it 200-300 miles a day?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But if you think about, like, I get paid based off mileage, so, like, yeah.
Okay, so it matters.
It does matter. So, like, customers always ask me, like, aren't you worried about the mileage on your car? But I bought the car specifically for the job and turned it into a taxi. Mm. So, you know, it's just part of the, comes with the territory.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is, like, intrusive thought. This is, like, an intrusive thought on, like, you're talking about when you were, like, a wheelchair, the driver.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever, like, not fully strap somebody in?
I just see Josh shaking his head. He's like, Kevin, why?
Well, the way that it works is, like, when you strap somebody in, you kind of have to, like, how do I describe it? You can kind of, like, tighten it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't tighten it enough, then they could be loose. So, like, if you're making a left turn or a right turn, you know, they'll kind of, like, they won't just stay put. They'll kind of go left or right. Mm-hmm. And there was this one person. I remember going over a speed bump, and she just made a big deal out of it. Even though it was just, like, a speed bump, she was just like, giving me not the best experience. I don't know how to describe it. She's not the best person to take, but other than that, there's some people who are like in the wheelchairs are like huge. Like I remember this one guy, because when you wheel them in, they're like not in the center of the van. You kind of have to angle them a little to the left so that other people can walk towards the back and sit in the back. But this guy, this poor guy, he was going to have his leg amputated.
Oh.
So like it was swollen and he was probably about 300 pounds. So his leg was just out. And I was trying to angle him into the wheelchair and like push him in and position him correctly. And it was just a mess. So that's why I don't do the wheelchair van anymore, because too much work for what I want. But yeah,
that's crazy. Did they train you for that? Like there has to be like a training period, right? Like,
yeah, there is a training period. There's a training period to like learn how to do all the notches and the straps and where exactly they have to be on the seatbelt. But you know, with people who are like a little bit bigger, sometimes that line gets skewed. So like instead of it being like closer to your ankle, it's like up here, and you don't want to choke them. There's a lot that goes into it, but that's why I just drive like a regular car now, so that people just open the door, they walk in, and then we just get going.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's a fun job.
So as far as future goals, right? Like I don't imagine that you could see yourself doing this long term, right? But as far as like the lessons you've learned, like obviously you want to take that for, you know, or hopefully for the rest of your life, right? But as far as long term future, like where do you see yourself you know, moving forward from this career?
So my goal is just to save up as much money as I can with this job, do it for a couple of years, and then like move on to my next thing. Historically, I've had like so many different types of jobs where I'm just like never really knew exactly what I wanted to get into. I do know, and I was talking about it with like Josh and I want to start a podcast.
Oh,
so like, you know, you guys do like the audio kind of podcasts, and I want to do like, you know, video podcasts. And I want to do that like on the side, and if it pops off, it pops off. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. Career wise, I don't really know. I've always kind of like whatever the next best opportunity presented itself to me, that's what I kind of took. So I'm kind of very like go with the flow in that term.
Gotcha. Okay. So like for the podcast though, like what would you want your whole thing to be about?
You know, I think it'll be probably just more of like me inviting like family, friends, just random people. Because I can pretty much talk to anybody about anything, and it wouldn't really have any like contents driven, like specifically, like there's some podcasts that are like, oh, we only talk about this, like sports podcasts, like it'd just be like whatever, just having fun kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like if you think of like a late night host like Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel or something like that, it'd be something like that.
Okay. That's cool. But
yeah, it's just an idea in my brain right now, like formulating thoughts.
Yeah.
That's why he kept asking to be on the podcast, man.
To get that experience. Like, do I want to do this? Yeah.
What we should do is give Quentin the audio file to edit afterwards and just be like, okay, let's see if you want to still do the podcast after this.
No. He already thought of it. He's like, I'm going to hire someone to just do my stuff.
How long does it take for you guys to edit?
It depends on the episode. If it's a longer episode, maybe like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then it takes like maybe 30, 40 minutes to make the trailer and like the artwork and stuff. So,
oh, you guys do the artwork too?
Yeah. So every, well, we have our artwork, and then every week we have like new titles and stuff. And so we just type it up and change it up a little bit.
Yeah. 1 to 2 hours is a lot.
Yeah, I think the best way to look at it is like, whatever the length of the episode is, usually about double that time is how long it takes to edit and process like the whole from start to finish. So, yeah. But I mean, like, I think we've gotten a lot better at the process from the beginning. So I remember like the very first episode I ever edited, it took me like I think it was like 2 or 3 hour sessions over like 2 or 3 days. So like, that's how much time I spent editing. That's because I was being super nitpicky and like cutting out every like every random sound, every dead space that I felt was too awkward. I would cut all of that out. And then now it's just like, I just listen to it on the background while I like do something kind of simple. Like that's like, you know, because most people when they listen to a podcast, they're not just listening to just the podcast. They're doing something else on the side. So then I just listen to the podcast while I'm doing something, like I'm reading like an article or something. And then if I catch something that like my ear is like, oh, what was that? That's when I'll focus back on the editing and be like, okay, like, let me edit that real quick. Yeah. So, yeah. Trying to get as much in the minds of the listeners, you know? So.
Yeah, I think definitely like in the beginning, I did the same thing. I was like, oh, this is awkward pause here. Stuff like that. But now we're just kind of like, it is what it is. Unless it's like something crazy, like, you know. I don't know. Like we like kind of get off tangent. We don't even talk about the podcast. We just like do something else. Like that's what we'll cut out. But most of it, we keep it. So it's not that long anymore. I think it takes maybe maybe add 30, 40 minutes on top of the regular whole recorded thing. So
you guys have any crazy guests come on here to talk about some crazy stuff? I haven't listened to all of them. So
crazy no. guests.
We're pretty good at screening people.
Usually it's just our friends, you know, so I don't know what you mean.
Well, you're about to have one right now.
He starts talking about conspiracy theories.
Don't get me started. You know,
on. Oh, shoot. That'd be pretty funny. I don't know. I guess, like, rather than a crazy guest, like, maybe, like, the... Not even like the wildest, because we haven't even had like wild guests. Our guests are pretty tame. What about favorite guest? Let's do favorite guest.
No, I'm not gonna really put a favorite game. Quentin's my favorite one, dude. I'm gonna say because he's here.
Let's go.
You know, this is actually my least favorite so far. I feel like I'm pulling teeth right now recording this episode. This actually sucks, guys. Why did we bring him on? Whose idea was this? Oh, Damien had it right when he was dodging letting Quentin be on the podcast.
He came at me aggressive and he was like flexing at the Halloween party, so I got scared. I was like, all right, let's do it.
I got intimidated into letting him on. What is this, guys? I don't know, man.
Sometimes you just gotta muscle your way in, you know?
True. That bicep, dude. That bicep.
You should see his back, bro.
His back. A little nice lean back. It's cool.
You look like you've been working out too, Kevin.
Me? No, it's just I'm just wearing a tank top, so I just look like I am.
Oh.
I do work out, but obviously it's just kind of just the tank top. You can see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm just tired. Josh and I were playing flag football earlier today, and I just got beat up by grown men. So
yeah. You can see the scars.
You can actually see the bruising if you want to see like on my arm and stuff.
Oh damn!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh bro,
there's some on here too. Yeah. Yep. Just hazards.
Be aggressive.
Yeah, it's a physical sport, you know. So they come at you. Violently, and you got to come back more violently. So just, you know, what it is, you know. You know, Quentin, let's get you on the football field too. I think you'd make a great wide receiver.
I have a lot of pent up aggression. I got to take it out on something, you know.
Yeah, let's do it, dude. Let's do it. I'd be happy to have you on the field.
You guys have like any sort of like ambition in terms of like your podcast? You just record just weekly episodes, kind of thing.
Next question. No, just
that's a good question, man. I mean, I think on a macro, like when we first started, the idea was just let's just do it for fun, you know. Like Josh has talked about this in the past, like in a recording, where like, well, I don't know, Josh, you want to explain it?
I don't know what you're trying to say. So,
yeah. Well, like how we got started, even doing this in the first place, with the idea, okay. Of, like, we just goof around and.
Yeah, I mean, it started off as, like, me and Kevin, we just do a lot of stupid crap, and we're like, dude, we laugh so hard doing these things, right? So it'd be cool if we can have, like, a creative outlet in a way. So we thought about, like, maybe YouTube channels, because everyone and their mom was doing a YouTube channel back then. Or, like, we were thinking about doing, like, streaming, And then I started listening to a lot of random podcasts, and I was like, hey, Kev, what do you think about doing podcasts? And then it kind of started from there. And then it was just us two. And then we were talking to Jack, or we were talking, and Jackie was in like the Discord, and we were talking about it. And then we're like, Jackie, would you be part of it? She's like, yeah, I'm down. So we started with that. And then Damien was like a guest a couple of times, and he messaged us every episode that came out. And he's like, randomly just talking about the episode when we recorded that like maybe like a week or two or like maybe months ago. And I'm like, what is this guy talking about? And I think, like, you know, we got burnt out the first season, and then I think kind of like we needed like a refresh in a way, and having multiple, like, four hosts would be easier, kind of thing. And so that's what we did. And so, yeah, it just started as a fun idea, and then I think we kind of I don't think we like really look at numbers. I low key kind of do. So I like look at how well our episodes do. I don't say anything, but I just like my competitive side kind of looks at it. I mean, of course, we would love to have like a large amount of listeners, but I think for me, it's just for fun. And I think the feedbacks that I get, I have a friend, and this is her shout out. I'm not going to say her name, but she messages me every week. Like, when the episode releases, she's like, oh my God. And she's the same thing what Damien used to do. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
She's your next host.
Yeah. But I appreciate it, because I, like, sometimes I get annoyed because, like, I'm really busy at work, and then I'm like trying to respond to her. But at the end of the day, I know it's like out of like love, and that, like, she's really supporting us. And like, she's probably going to text me after hearing this. But I think ambition wise, like, I think I'd love to have like thousands of listeners or whatever, but I'm cool with the number that we have. I will not say how much we have. Yeah, that's me. I think Kevin's on the same page. I don't know about Damien. I don't think we've ever like talked about numbers and stuff with Damien, but
I think for me, since this is my first season with you guys, I think I kind of started off a little bit gung-ho, where I wanted to be able to provide content, provide, like, you know, suggestions and ideas and that sort of thing. But then I think that it comes in waves, you know, like, inspiration's always not going to be there. Like, sometimes you'll be super motivated, sometimes you won't. Sometimes other things in life kind of take priority, and other times you have, like, the freedom and the capability to be able to create content like this, like what we're doing now. So I don't think I was super obsessed with numbers. I think I was more so obsessed with creating variation and inspiration, like, kind of having this serve as my creative outlet. Because similar to Josh and Kevin, and I tried streaming for like a little bit, I at least was able to get to like the minimum, like, us, like, followers to be able to start receiving donations. And Josh has been my sole, like, donator whenever I do hop on, which was nice. I think I just need, like, another outlet to where... And to Josh's point, I would just listen to their episode whenever I was walking Mason, because it was nice, like, a nice thing to listen to, and I would just provide my opinion. And I just find this as, like, something nice to do in the meantime, and I'm glad to be a part of it, but I'm not super obsessed about trying to make it, like... Like, if it becomes successful, if it has, like, some success to whatever degree, then I'd be super stoked for it. But I'm not gunning for, like, some sort of, like, crazy thing to happen, you know? Just because I've already got so many things going on in my life right now. It's like, there comes a point in time where it's just, like, how much capacity do I have to do this, like, fully through before it becomes, like, a burden, not to myself, but to, like, you know, the people around me that I'm not, like, being there and, like, fulfilling my my promise to deliver. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think if there's any advice I could give to you, Quentin, if you do want to, you know, do podcasting, is, like, really have a clear idea of what, like, your vision is going to be for it. Because for us, I think when Josh and I were, like, first in the talks of, like, doing a podcast, it was just the idea of, like, we want to record us being goofy together, and we didn't have a clear idea of what that meant for us. But through doing this podcast, right, like the name itself is part of the vision, right? It's called Just Friend Zone. And part of that is, you know, it was a continuation of us being silly because Josh was like, hey, what do you want to name the podcast? And then I was like, I don't know, but I want the word zone in there. So that's how the zone part of it came. And then we were talking about like, oh, like friend zone, but like not like friend zone, but friends zone. Kind of like a play on obviously the friend zone, right? And then we're like, oh, it's called Just Friend Zone. So the idea is it's this area that we're creating where we can talk with friends and just see like just what the vibes are. And like the idea is like around the couch type of stuff. Like when you're talking with your friends and the communication kind of goes wherever, you know, right? The conversation can go anywhere. And so yeah. It's just kind of recreating those vibes. And that's what we wanted to do. But I think it's evolved in a sense because the first season was a lot of that. Where it was just kind of random, sporadic. We had a topic, but we wouldn't, you know, like we would talk about that topic only. And I think now it's becoming this more thing where we have a clear idea of what we want our conversations with just the main host to be and what we want our episodes with guests to be. So I think it's like, you know, I say like have a clear vision. At the same time, it's also like, if you want to do it and you know you're going to do it, like just start. And that's the most important thing, because Josh and I were in paralysis about like starting the podcast for I think almost 2 years. So I think the best advice is like have a vision, but also like just start recording and just get it out there. Because like honestly, the first like probably like 10 or 15 episodes are going to be pretty bad anyway. Yeah. Like you probably won't have an episode that you're like proud of until you're at least 20 episodes in. So.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like I want to like have everything set up and I want to have like the best of the best equipment. Like, for example, I just bought a plant, like a palm tree, because I want to like have the video part of it too, right? And it's going to be probably in my room. So I just bought a palm tree today because if I'm like kind of doing it from this angle, then the background looks like nice, right? So I'm like, right now I'm like buying all the pieces and parts and I want to get like two chairs and like a coffee table. And then all the equipment too. Like I don't have a mic for the second person. And then I was talking to Josh and he said, I need like this amp thing where I can plug everything in. So I'm like figuring out all the details and, you know, buying all the separate parts. So that's the paralysis I'm in. I'm like, I got to get all the pieces going before I can like just start recording. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For some reason I had it in my head where I just imagined you as like, Zach Galifianakis between two ferns when you said the palm tree part. I was just like, is this going to be like a between two ferns thing? So I like that you're getting into the whole video production setup for it.
Yeah, I think for that, just get the equipment that you need to record and just start it. Because like there's a lot of YouTubers and whatever, like they have like a special like studio for it. To record, but like that comes later, you know. Like I think, just if you're able to record the audio and then record the video for it, I think it's just like that's the hardest part. Honestly, it's like working out, you know. Like you have all these ideas of like, oh, I want to be strong, and you know, but if you don't do it, then you'll never get there, right? So it's kind of like that in a way of, hey, if you have these ideas, which is great, but you need a starting point. And then just get the ball rolling and then you can kind of like get to it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think like, I don't know if you guys ever like watch or big in YouTube and stuff, but sometimes I'd be watching YouTube or streamers and I take a look at them. I'm like, why are you famous? Like, like I could be famous and I got so much better personality. And you're like, why are you? Like, why you? I don't know if you guys ever do that.
No, I think I mean, I don't think of it like, oh, I could be so much more famous, but I do think like, why this person? Like, how did this person like get this like big? There are some like TikTokers or like the people that I see like on like YouTube shorts or like Instagram reels. And I'm like, who the hell are you? So I get that for sure.
Yeah, I'm just competitive. So I have like that, I can do it better. mentality in me.
Yeah, I mean Josh is the same way, right? Like he was talking about like his, like he gets competitive and he looks at the numbers and stuff, and so, and like, yeah, I think there's a period of time where like everybody and their mom had a podcast or was starting one, you know. So I think, like, in my opinion, it's kind of like, it's easy to look at them and be like, I want to be better than them, you know? Especially if it's someone you know, you're like, I want to be better than them for sure, you know?
Don't say that. He's going to compare us now, bro. Come on. He's like, oh, I'm better than just friend zone.
Yeah, Quentin's our competition now.
I'm just kidding.
Do you, but like, Quentin, do you follow Gary Vaynerchuk, or do you know who that is?
I know who that is, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, like, I think that just alone having, like, two different forms of, like, media outlet will help, because usually what a lot of those people do is they'll create, like, different forms of media. So there's, like, their Twitch or their streaming channel, their YouTube channel, and then podcast, and basically you kind of dip your toes into, like, different forms of media, and they feed into each other, so then it grows exponentially. So, like, that's usually a tip for... If as far as like numbers games, or if you're looking for growth, that I heard is like a really good piece of advice. Because, yeah, I'll just leave it after that.
Yeah, because I was thinking before I had the whole podcast idea, I was actually thinking of being like a streamer. Because there's some people who are like streamers, and they're just like, why do people watch them? But yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I can create content that are like, that I'm like reacting to stuff, you know, and like, you know, the, have you guys ever seen like the reaction videos? That was my initial idea. And I was like, I don't know about that one. And then I, you know, I could talk to anybody, and I started thinking about like my skills, my assets. I think I'm a great interviewer as well. Like I can ask a bunch of questions and keep the conversation going. So then it stemmed to podcasts. So like, I guess, you know, I could keep that in my back pocket. Podcast here, little streaming or little, you know, content creating on the side. So
yeah, I think like a good idea is probably like, or a good rule of thumb, right? Like that Damien was alluding to is kind of like one long form of media and one short form media, right? So like the videos or the podcasts that like you have for as like a long form content, and the short forms like the shorts and stuff that like are just sound bites that help like be like, oh, people see that and go, okay, I want to see more of this guy kind of thing. Maybe you could go with that.
Oh, well, that's what you're saying, like little clips of like the like the whole podcast kind of thing.
Yeah,
like the trailers that you guys do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or but then like, you know, in like a full, like you just, because you said you're gonna do like video podcasting, so you could do like that kind of whole thing. Like I think you see like a lot of the Joe Rogan shorts and stuff, right? So
yeah,
like that kind of stuff. I think that'd be cool. Yeah, or you could also do like what I see a lot of YouTubers do is they'll be like, oh, we're gonna stream like this episode, you know, like that kind of thing. Like the occasional like live streaming of like an episode. So I think that draws content, or that draws views too. From what I see, I don't know. But yeah, it's like weird because then I think like Mr. Beast gave like a, what is it, like a guest lecture at a university on like the science of going viral. And then because he like has it down to like he knows exactly what he's doing and like why he's doing everything he is like intentionally. So I don't know. Sometimes it's lightning in a bottle, sometimes it's just it's much more manufactured than you'd think.
Well, he knows what the formula is because it's just through his like trial and error. He actually, if I remember correctly, he had like a story where there was like a point in time where either he had to like get a job or go to school because his parents were gonna kick him out of the house, I think. And he actually went to school. And then he would, like, basically go for, like, the intro classes and then basically just go enough to, you know, basically drop out all the classes, get his money back. And then he put the money into making his YouTube videos. It's basically just, like, kind of, like, just kind of, like, just, like, kind of, like, fake him out a little bit. It ultimately paid off because, you know, he's so successful now. But he really poured all of his heart and soul into, like, kind of figuring out how to make videos and how to make things like just like pump viewership, pump numbers, and that sort of thing. So that like it's formulated, but it's through the fact that he's like grown through so much experience. And I think that goes back to like the point you were saying earlier, Kevin, where everyone needs to start somewhere, and you're only going to learn through, there's like plenty that you'll learn from like tips and tricks or like, you know, foresight from other people, but there's going to be much more that you learn just through trial and error yourself.
you know, there's a lot of YouTubers who think Mr. Beast completely ruined content creating.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised for sure. I think in a way he did too. Yeah.
Wait, why?
Just because of like all of the type of his content is just like, it's just so like monetarily based, you know, like the world's biggest this, or like, you know, I bought this expensive thing. And so now it's just become a game of like money and how much money you can put into it versus actual content you're kind of creating. Mm-hmm. It's funny too, because like sometimes when you do the whole YouTube scroll and you're just, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever platform you're watching, you'll see people copying other people's content. So I see a lot of people posting videos just like Mr. Beast trying to yeah. copy his way of like videos. And it's just like, wow, like unoriginal.
Yeah. I could already name one that is like, I think it's like Champagne Mike or whatever. I think he'll literally have videos where he's like, he'll walk up to the person and be like, here's a banana. And like that, they don't know what to do with it. And then he'll say, tell me what to give the next person. And they could be like, give them an apple. Or they like say something like, give them your credit card. And then he'll like actually follow through with it. He's like, here's my credit card. Come back in an hour. And then, or, you know, they'll say like, buy a MacBook or something. And so, and then he says, the only way I could pay for this is if you guys follow my content. So just follow my content. Mm-hmm. So it's like very similar to like, it's like similar, but same, but different with Mr. Beast and stuff.
Yeah.
I know Mr. Beast was on Joe Rogan's podcast and he explained how he got into it. And I think he said he like studied YouTube. So he would go on the top 100 videos and see what the thumbnails are. And like, that's how he would create his thumbnails. And like, basically what he does is the money he makes, he doesn't keep for himself. He just pumps it right back into the videos. So like, it's pretty insane. Yeah.
This thumbnail though.
Yeah.
You need like a clickbait clip for yeah. The trailer.
Yeah. Oh, here, sorry. And then the title is going to be, We Bring Damien's Brother and It Goes Crazy. You won't believe what happens next.
And we still click those videos.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, and the articles too, like the news articles that like are like, oh, you won't believe what this mom does for her kids. And it's like,
yeah, okay. And then you have to scroll like 20 pages down to see what she did. You're like,
yeah. Oh, so annoying. Also, I was thinking about this like halfway through this conversation. How did we get here when Quentin said he was going to talk about gratitude?
That's just how the conversation goes, baby.
You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. Like, we spent like 5 minutes on gratitude, and then like
our show is unscripted, you know?
this is how you know it's unscripted. This is how you know we don't plan this in advance.
We just went from gratitude to production to like viral concepts and like media concepts and deconstruction.
Mm-hmm. Is this technically a episode on so follow me here, guys, okay? Just Friend Zone reacts to Mr. Beast. Is that technically what
No. That's clickbait for sure. The people are gonna be like 45 minutes into the episode and be like, where's like the whole Mr. Beast part?
Gets millions of views.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I'm saying it. We gotta do it. We're gonna title this episode Mr. Beast.
Dear Mr. Beast.
Dear Mr. Beast.
I'm gonna try to see if I could have him. Hey Jimmy, if you do end up listening to this, I'm gonna try to have you added as a friend. That way the topic still stands, Just Friend Zone podcast. You're a friend on the podcast.
Would you guys ever have like I know it's just friends, but like, you know, a celebrity?
We don't know any celebrity.
Like, if you, do you know like there's this one really famous podcaster, or I don't know if she's even a podcaster. You know, like, I think her name is Bobby something. She's like a chick.
Oh, Bobby Altoff?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
The monotone girl?
Yeah, the monotone girl. So she only like interviews like celebrities. But like what she did was she was like, her story was that she said, hey, like, I'll give $300 to anybody who can link me up with a celebrity. And then I forget who her first one was, but that's how she started. And at each celebrity that she got you know, she talked to just got bigger and bigger and better, and she got more popular. But I was just curious if you guys would ever try to have someone.
I'll give you $20 if you can look us up.
You got $20 to give?
Oh, I'm not giving $300. $20.
That's funny.
I got my people.
I think the closest link that Quinton and I have to a celebrity is actually through our parents, or rather, like our mom's like relative. So,
Quinton's so confused right now.
So, just for Quinton, Patrick Warburton, the voice of Kronk. Do you not remember our connection to him?
No, I know him. Oh yeah. But I'm trying to like. I don't think we actually have a connection. Like, there is a connection, but well, not a, like...
Not us specifically, but we could ask Uncle Bao, I guess.
Hey, it's your podcast, so I'm asking you guys.
So, Kevin, Josh, for context, when our family came over from Vietnam, you know how, like, the U.S. families were sponsoring the refugees who were coming over? So, our family was sponsored by Patrick Warburton's family, and our eldest uncle, Uncle Bao, was actually like friends with him in high school. So he was actually friends with him apparently before he got all like deep voice, gorgeous and buff looking, and like, you know, just attractive as a man. And from time to time, I think they still keep in touch with that family and still have like ties with them and that sort of thing. So it's like whenever we see, or whenever I go to, like, for example, Disneyland and go to Soarin' Over the World or Soarin' Over California and see Patrick Warburton on the screen, I'm just like, my uncle knows that guy. They were best friends.
Mm. Cool.
I didn't know who he was until you explained Soarin' Over California. But my defense, I don't really know celebrities by names often. I just know they're like how they look.
Got it.
You never watched The Emperor's New Groove?
Yeah, I know who he is now after he said Soarin'. Oh. I didn't know him by his name. Yeah,
I feel like I would. I think the most famous person I know is probably. Well, okay. I don't think it counts, but my girlfriend runs an Instagram account that has like 18,000 followers, so that's probably the most like. That's the only person I know that has like a large following, but it's not even like her face is never shown in that account too. So, yeah.
Wait, so she runs the account for, is it another person or it's her account that she's running that just doesn't have her face?
It's like her account. So she cooks like food. And so like, she just shows like the dishes and the cooking process and yeah. Yeah. Wow. So she has videos that will like randomly like get picked up by the algorithm and do really well. So like, I think to date, her biggest episode or her biggest video is one where she made sushi with candy. So it was like, instead of the sushi rice, she used Rice Krispies. And then instead of fish, she used the Swedish fish candy. And then the seaweed was fruit roll-ups.
Wow.
And then and then it got picked up by the algorithm because there were so many like hate comments on it. Like people were saying like it's an abomination, it's like this is such an insult to like Japanese people, and she was like, but I'm Japanese. So yeah, it was pretty funny. We had like a good laugh over that, like that video. But that one I think it got like 8 million views. Yeah, that's like the biggest one to date. Yeah. And she's like showing me one right now that's going like, it's getting picked up by the audience. So it's almost at 100,000, I think. But yeah, that one, she's also like, why this one? Like, she doesn't understand like what like certain ones will do better over others. She's like, this isn't even that good of a video. So yeah, she's probably like the biggest person I would know. I guess like maybe if I could try to like leverage connections, but I wouldn't really want to do that. That'd feel a little icky to me. Because like Josh was saying, right? Like, this is like a friend's thing. So. Yeah, and I don't know any famous people. Yeah.
So you'd be eating good with her cooking?
Whatever she shares it with me. So sometimes she'll make stuff like intentionally knowing that like we're gonna hang out like either the next day or like later in that day. So she'll make a video of something just because she knows like she's gonna see me and she'll bring the food over. But yeah.
How'd you meet her?
No, we're not getting into this. We're not getting into this right now. No. This isn't a me episode, Quentin. You think, no. We're not doing that right now.
I've noticed a lot of our guests start asking us questions, and it becomes like an interview for us. And we're like, hey, you're the guest. Excuse me.
But this goes into Quentin was talking about his skill, right? Like, he could interview people.
No, last time he said that, he ditched me, so I don't believe what he said.
Well, that's different. You can't interview drunk people. It doesn't go well. You can't get coherent answers from drunk people.
Wait. That could totally be a podcast concept, though, Quentin.
Interviewing drunk people?
Yeah, like, just, like, you take... Okay. So you start out the show sober. Uh-huh. And then, before each question, you both take a shot, and then after each question, before the next one, it's a shot in between questions, and then you just progressively get more and more tipsy.
There is actually a show or a podcast on that. It's called Drink Champs.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah.
I told you it was a concept. I told you it was a concept, Quentin. Whatever.
Yeah. So it's done by Nori. Sean Evans actually interviewed him on Hot Ones. It was like in the earlier seasons. And so for that whole episode, as they were eating chicken wings, they were also like taking shots every question. And so like it was like getting spicy and they're getting more drunk at the same time. At the end of it, Sean Evans was just like, I love you, man. You're the dude. You're just... Yeah, I mean, like, you could still do it as like a thing. Maybe just like not say like, oh, we're the original or we're the first to do this. You could just like do it like that could be a podcast type. But I'll just say like, make sure you acknowledge them as the people who did it first.
Oh man, you gotta take full credit, Quentin.
But I guess going back on topic to gratitude, what we were originally talking about at the beginning. So Quentin mentioned, like, you know, that he's now like grateful about where he's at in life, the opportunity that he's had right now, and his journey currently. I guess like more of a question as for the open room. So what are some moments that I guess you guys felt like grateful for where you're at in life, the things that you have in life, just because, like, you know, sometimes we all kind of just go through like the day to day, you know, just kind of like coast and just autopilot and just kind of see, like, don't really pay attention to like what we have around us. And the next second, like, we're super grateful. Cause then you're just like, I've made this much growth, and I totally forgot that I've made this much growth. So I guess I'll just pose that to the whole room.
Quentin, you want to start us off?
Sure. So for me, you know, especially with my job being a driver, you know, there's a point in time where I was broke and I had no car. And look at me now. I'm still broke, but at least I have a car. I'm just joking. That was just a bad joke.
No, that's a good one.
Guys, sorry. I like that joke. That was a good one.
Guys, also for context, if Quentin ever talks about rats, just run.
That was so random. What?
Yeah, you have to see in person, or you have to experience the rats in person, but that's neither here nor there. But like the biggest thing I'm grateful for, like, have you guys ever heard this thing? Like, let me ask you guys, if I gave you like $10 million right now, would you guys be happy?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I'd be right? Happier. I'd be happier.
Okay, cool. So what if I told you, if you took the $10 million, then you wouldn't wake up tomorrow?
Then I wouldn't be happy.
Would you still do it? Would you still take it?
I'd be dead.
I say you would take it.
I wouldn't take it. No, I would take it. I would take it, and then I would give it to like someone I really care about, because then they wouldn't have to take it and lose their life for it.
So you would just die for the 10 mil?
I would die for the 10 mil because I know it's going to change the life of someone I care about.
Huh. Well,
I just
want to
die. I just want to die. I wouldn't take it. Wait, do we know we're not going to wake up if we get the 10 mil?
Yeah, if you take it, you're dead tomorrow.
Yeah,
you can't wait. You don't wake up tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not taking the 10 mil.
Right?
I'm going to take it, and I'm just going to try to stay awake for as long as possible.
Because then you don't wake up. Wow. If
I wake up, I just give me everything so I can stay awake as long as possible. I don't care how cranky I am.
Yeah, so basically with that little thing, it's like you should treat waking up. If you put more value on waking up rather than, you know, receiving $10 million, then you should act on it, right? Like, you don't have $10 million right now, but you wake up every single day. So why is it such a big deal that you don't, you know, you're putting more emphasis on the 10 mil versus you're not putting any emphasis towards waking up every day? And that's where, like, I take gratitude. I think about, you know, I wake up, like, as simple as that. I'm alive. You know, I'm healthy. I'm young. I can see. So all these little things, you know, just constantly in my mind about, like, oh, something to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, like, that's it for me. That you never realized, right?
Or pay attention to, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see that. I'm gonna say also, this is gonna be like a not an intrusive thought. This is like a when you said $10 million, the first thing that came to my mind was there's like this video where these guys are like in a podcast, right? And then one guy goes, So one guy asks the other rest of the group, he goes, for $10 million, and then one guy cuts him off, I'm sucking it. And the guy goes, damn, let me finish, dude.
No.
And then everyone in the room is like, damn, dude, like, let him finish. Oh, so that was the first thing that came to my mind when you were like, if I gave you $10 million, so I was like, in my mind, I was like, I'm sucking it.
You should have just cut me off right there. Just did exactly that.
Okay, so here's the thing, though, right? Because I was talking to a friend about this, because like we sent that video to each other, and then we were like, dude, oh, this is so funny. You know, we're talking about like, hey, though, real talk, $10 million though, like that's life changing money. Like you got you crazy. Like, you got the wrong guy. You think I'm passing that up? You know? So,
hey yo.
Yeah,
right, we're on to another topic. We're moving on to...
So Quentin.
Kevin made his statement. We're moving on to another topic now.
Quentin, if you say you're giving me 10 mil, that's the first thing I'm telling you, man. I'm sucking it.
So Kevin's thankful for the opportunity.
Okay. But then also, okay, so we were talking about that, right? 10 mil, you suck it. And you get 10 mil, right? You just have really a second, right? That's like a no-brainer deal, okay? Life-changing money. So then the next question we asked was, what's the lowest possible you would still suck it for?
All right.
I thought this was a family-friendly podcast.
Kevin, what the hell, man?
Okay. This did not turn out to be family-friendly like how we originally wanted it to be. Just because we're not saying any bad words doesn't mean this is not family. Oh my god.
Hey, so for the clickbait.
For the clickbait. What are you sucking on, huh, Kevin?
Obviously Otter Pops, dude. I don't know what where your mind went, but I'm thinking about Otter Pops.
Alright, so the caption for the episode will be,
I'm sucking it. What? I can't do this, guys.
Okay, Quentin, we're getting close to an hour. We're about an hour now.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to our favorite part of guest episodes. You know, if you listen to any guest episodes, this is very familiar. And this is, you know where this spiel is going. But we're going to go into rapid fire round. Basically, we're all going to take turns asking you questions. And even though we call it a rapid fire round, it's more like a load up your sniper, take your aim, and then take the shot, because we give you plenty of time to answer it. And we, you know, we prefer if you did give a longer answer, and we might ask you follow up questions too. So it's not a rapid fire round at all.
Is it prefer to give a longer answer?
Yeah, I think it's better for us to hear more from you than to, you know, just kind of give like a one or two word answer.
Okay.
All right.
I want to go first.
Okay.
All right.
For $10 million.
$10 million. I hate you guys.
That was a wide open one. You can't blame me for that. That was a wide open shot.
Yeah, but my question, oh, man. Okay. Woo! Let me calm down a little bit. Oh, I'm not sucking it, though. Mine's actually really, like, wholesome. And you got to say, sucking it for.
I didn't say anything about sucking. I just said for $10 million.
All right. Okay. I think we roasted Damien enough, so let's give some time for Quentin to talk nice about Damien. What's your favorite memory with Damien as your older brother?
Okay. Favorite memory of Damien. I think the best thing that I got to witness about Damien just growing up as his younger brother was just him being himself at all times, which is something that I was never able to like really do until like pretty recently in my life. Just because when we were talking about earlier, I played a lot of video games growing up, so I was very socially awkward. And whenever I was in front of other people, I'd kind of put up this like front of like acting like a cool kind of guy type of thing. And so like the thing that I always admired about my brother Damien was the fact that he was just himself, goofy and, you know, friendly and warm and energetic, and he was like that 24/7. So like, you know, that's the thing that I took from him and kind of induced into my personality, because I really admired that from what he was able to just, you know, do naturally. So it's not really a memory, but it's a specific memory, but it's like, you know, something that I think about.
Oh, it sucks.
All right. My follow up question is, what's one thing that really bothers you about Damien? I'm just kidding. You don't have to answer that.
Okay. I was like, I don't want to ruin that moment right there.
I know, that was.
I know. I just had to.
All right, fine. If I really have to answer, I'm just
kidding. No.
He's like, twist my arm right now, Joe. All right. Here goes.
Shoot. Okay. All right, Quentin. This is. I'm trying to think of how to word this question. It's not going to be related to Damien at all, or anything we've talked about. But what is an emoji that someone would send to you that you would immediately go, I don't want to talk to this person anymore?
The emoji $10
million
game.
Dollars.
The emoji. I don't know. The emoji game is kind of like. Like for the youngins, no?
You're a youngin, dude.
You're the youngest one here, bro.
But I don't be sending like emojis or receiving emojis like that. So that's a tough one. There's so many.
Can we add a twist to it then? What about a meme?
A meme, if they sent it to me, then I'm just going to block them.
Yeah. Kind of goes hand in hand, right? Emoji.
Yeah.
It's the thing. I love memes, though. So like memes have a special place in my heart. Like, I wouldn't block someone off a meme.
I'm getting emotional, you know. I'm getting choked up right now thinking about memes.
I don't know. I can't think one off the top of my head. Let me see. Let me look at my emoji keyboard real quick.
He's like, let me look at my block list right now.
And why did I block these fools?
I can tell you about this one time this girl called me like 4 times in the middle of the night. Like, I'm talking about like at 2, 3, 6, and 7 a.m. and I blocked her off of that. But it wasn't an emoji that she sent. It was her actions.
Why did she call me four times?
Because she wanted a...
for $10 million, right? $10 million.
Probably, I would say, like, you know, like those, not the emojis, but when they send like that character of themselves, you know that what I'm talking about?
Oh, the like Memoji?
The stickers and stuff?
The stickers of them, like they create a little profile character and then they send like, you know, that of themselves. I'd probably block them off that.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, honestly, I'm getting so much more mileage out of the for $10 million joke than I thought I was. Like, we're just really bringing it back over and over and over. Great. I love it.
I'm grateful.
Yeah. Hey.
Maybe that's why that girl called you four times, because she was getting offered $10 million.
Oh. All right, Damien?
I'm going to go with this question just because I feel like, Quentin, you have a similar answer. But I just wanted to confirm it for our audience members. What's your favorite Disney movie?
Oh, we got a thing.
My favorite Disney movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to make me think for a little bit. Because, like, there's, like, the ones where you can find on Disney Plus that they're not really Disney specific. And Shrek is not a Disney movie either, so I can't say that.
Nah, it's DreamWorks, dog.
You know, if we're going to, like, old Disney classics, and I'm probably gonna say Tarzan.
Ooh. Okay, nice.
Just because the soundtrack is so fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do like Hercules as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might just be like a guy thing, because like all Disney movies are like princesses and stuff, and so like those are the only two that like have male
Lion King.
Lion King.
I can relate to a lion.
Try to identify as a furry, Josh.
I'm just saying, Lion King is the greatest movie of all time. I'm just saying.
Did you watch the live action?
No, I didn't. Oh, I watched like 20 minutes of it, and I was like, I can't do this. It's not as good as the animation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess follow-up question to you, Quentin. I think you've asked me this question before, so I'll just like say it back to you. Stuck on an island, and just in general, yeah, it's like, pick three movies that you can only see for the rest of your life that you'd be able to have access to on an island. Apparently Shrek's one of them, so we already know that.
Well, no. It would be Cat in the Hat, mm-hmm. live action. What was the other one? The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
And then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That one made me laugh a lot.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
My siblings and I, we share like weird core memories of certain movies, and Cat in the Hat is one of them. The one with Michael Myers. No, wait, not Mike Myers. What's his name?
Yeah, it is Mike Myers.
Okay, Mike Myers. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. This just also happens to be the name of a serial, like a Halloween killer. Type.
Okay, yeah. I thought I was getting confused there for a second, just because like Halloween just passed.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, you want to go or you want me to go?
You can go.
All right. So Quentin, you've let us know that you've been spending a bit more time in the gym lately. You know, with the gains. So my question to you is, what is your favorite muscle group to work out?
My favorite muscle group to work out is shoulders, because you guys know the term boulder shoulders.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going for. Because like, that's what really makes a nice physique.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like it's not something I can lift really heavy on, but if you can get it to the point where, you know, they're nice and rounded, then you just look so much bigger. So like, when I'm wearing clothes and I'm like have like more broad shoulders, like the ladies love that. So like I do it for the ladies.
Or so I've been told. Or so I've been told. You know, I don't actually know if they love it or not, but yeah.
But yeah, shoulders. Okay. Shoulders are my favorite. I mean, you can't go wrong with chest and anything upper body. Mm-hmm. I have like a love-hate relationship with like leg day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, shoulders are like my favorite. Especially when you get a good shoulder pump, you're just like, looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I used to, like, leg day used to be my favorite. Because I don't know what it is. Like, a good, like, squat day just always made me feel great. But lately, like, on my, like, bench, incline bench, my shoulder press, like, all, like, the upper body muscle type stuff, I'm like, dude, when I see that pump come in, I'm like, ooh, ooh. I start to feel like a Greek god, dude. I'm just like, oh. You know, I'll build a statue of me. So,
hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, I feel it, dude. And I feel so basic for saying something like that, you know, like where it's like, oh yeah, like chest is my favorite thing, you know. But at the same time, it's also like, dude, there's a reason why it's like, you know, most popular. So,
no, yeah. When you see that, when you get a pump and you see it and you feel it, it just makes such a difference. Whereas, like, if you worked out, you didn't see it or feel it. Like, it's night and day.
Yeah, so. For sure. Yeah. I've been doing dips a lot lately. And, that gets my tricep juicy and my chest juicy. It's, like, crazy. Yeah, I start doing dips. It's just two sets, dips to failures. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, man. Try it.
I'm so glad we didn't make this another gym episode.
It could have easily. Yeah.
Okay, my question is, what advice would you give yourself 5 years ago?
Oh man, 5 years ago, I probably would have told myself to not go into door-to-door sales.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because that's like one, like looking back, I try not to regret any of like my decisions in life, and you know, just go with the flow and not think too much about the past in that way. But before I had this, you know, taxi driving job, like that's what I was in. I was in like door-to-door sales, and I had this big, I'm a big dreamer and I have a lot of ambition, and basically, you know, it was a tough environment to be successful because it was more or less a pyramid scheme. And I just had this idea like, I can do it. And I ended up, you know, going into a lot of debt because I had bills to pay and I wasn't making paychecks. And I was still believing the idea that if I work hard 7 days a week, that eventually it's going to like turn me into a ultra hyper successful millionaire because I'm putting in so much more work than other people are, even though I'm not yielding the cash results kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I just ended up wasting about a couple years of my life. Getting into a relationship as well that I just, that whole part of my life was just very, just a waste of my, looking back, a waste of my time. And I could have been putting my efforts towards something else. So if I could tell myself something 5 years ago, it'd be like, don't go into that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you live and you learn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't feel like maybe the lessons you learned from that period really helped shape who you are now?
I think it does for sure. That's why I try not to like think of it in that way. But I don't know if you guys ever have memories where you kind of just think about it and you're like, you don't want to remember it because it's just so like,
oh yeah,
you know, cringe. It's embarrassing or cringe, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what that memory is for me, like knocking on doors. You know, trying to sell people, trying to like force them into buying a product, trying to become their best friend so that they just buy the product. It's very, you know, it's very cringe, you know, and not even being successful most of the time and then quitting because you were not good at it, you know, like it's just not a good memory for me. So it does make me who I am today, but it's just still like uncomfortable to like go back into those memories and think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
So I'm grateful that I'm a taxi driver because I don't have to put... No, just kidding.
We're coming full circle. Look at that. Okay. Do we want to do another round of questions?
Damien, do you have any questions?
if you were to, just because I know you and I played this a lot when we were younger, favorite Pokemon start, favorite Pokemon generation, if you were to pick one, and then favorite Pokemon starter as well.
From that generation or like any generation?
Maybe both. Like if you were to pick from that generation, then which starter would you pick? And then if you have like a different and then also if your favorite starter is just in a different generation entirely, like what is it? What would it be?
Honestly, my favorite generation would be the generation with, I think it was Gen 2 with Cyndaquil, Totodile, and blanking on that last one.
Chikorita!
That would be my favorite generation, I think. I think they just had a lot of like cool Pokemon selection to pick apart. But starter-wise, I would always go with fire. I would always go fire or water, depending on the generation. And then grass, I would never choose grass. Really? So that would be like my priority. I would never choose grass. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. I feel like the grass Pokemon, just by default, like the designs were never as strong as like fire or water.
There were some grass designs that I actually liked. Like my favorite's the same as you, Quentin. So Johto is the second generation, and then I always picked like Cyndaquil. But I actually did like Treecko from the Hoenn region. Treecko was pretty cool looking. But I kind of flip flop between like which ones are my favorite, which ones aren't. Cool.
Damon, you want to outro us? It's your brother's episode.
I've never done outro. I'm too nervous.
Hey, for $10 million, though?
All right, so thanks for listening to us this far, if you're still around.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, that's important. Quentin, any last words for the listeners?
Oh, okay. Stay away from $10 million, and thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, man. That joke got so much mileage.
Now, okay. When you guys have another guest and they ask about a crazy guest, you have something to fall back on now.
That's true. We had a guest who kept on asking us if we would suck it for $10 million.
No, he asked for $10 million, and then you said you'll suck it.
It was the host.
Hey, $10 million, though. Changed my life. Anyway, like David said, if you're still around, we thank you a lot for just sticking out with us. You know, these episodes are going past an hour, and it's a time commitment. You know, it's a Disney movie. You could have watched the whole Disney movie in the time you were listening to us, but you chose to listen to us instead, so we appreciate it. And if you do enjoy listening to us, you know, leave a like or rating or whatever. Follow us on social media, Just Friend Zone Podcast. And you can stay up to date with anything that we're trying to do out there. Other than that, though, we thank you just very much for being here. And thank you again to Quentin for being our guest. And, you know, let's all be grateful and show more gratitude for the small things in life, right? So, yeah, get that out of the way. Bye.
See ya. Later.
Bye.